Welcome to the Together in the UK podcast. We are very pleased that today we are interviewing Jamie McPherson, who is a trustee for the Gatwick Detainee Welfare Group. In our series of podcasts, we are interested in exploring connection and how important it is. It seems to me that nothing could be more important than giving people in very difficult circumstances a sense of connection. So I am really interested to find out more. Jamie, can you tell me a bit about how you became interested in Gatwick Detainee Welfare Group and something about what the charity does?
I'd just like to say thank you, Teresa, for inviting me onto your podcast. And I'm very happy to be here. And thank you for the opportunity to talk about Gatwick Detainee Welfare Group. I guess for me, the story started in the early 2000s. I was living in a village close to Gatwick Airport. We used to get regular visitors, and I would travel up to Gatwick to pick people up from the airport and travel past what looked like a prison to me. And I was quite intrigued because I had no idea we had a prison near Gatwick Airport. I later discovered, after meeting someone who was a visitor there, that it was in fact an immigration removal centre. And this sparked an interest in me to find out more. And it was probably about 10 years later, around about 2010, when my children left home, and I found I had a bit more free time. So then I volunteered to become a visitor myself. I became a trustee as well in 2016. The charity's main purpose, as I said, is to visit people held in detention. There's two detention centres at Gatwick Airport, Brook House and Tinsley House. We don't offer legal or immigration advice. What we do offer is emotional support, as well as more practical support like phone cards and clothing. We are allocated someone to visit, and we visit that person once a week for as long as they're held in detention.
We are in the midst of the pandemic now, so how is everyone there coping?
That's a very interesting question. In fact, we've had to stop visiting in person because of the pandemic, and we're now offering telephone support. This has challenges attached to it, particularly with language. When we meet somebody face-to-face, you communicate through language, but also non-verbally over the telephone. Of course, that's not possible. So if you're visiting somebody that has limited English language, it can be quite a challenge. The environment at the detention centres can also be quite noisy, and it's often quite difficult to hear the person properly. What's also interesting, I think, is that during this coronavirus pandemic, we're now all experiencing a form of detention with confinement and the uncertainty of how long it'll last. This is something that people held in detention are experiencing every day of the year. We have a system of indefinite immigration detention in the UK, which is the only country in Europe to have this. This means that people held in detention have no idea whether they will be held for a week, a month, or years. I personally have visited people that have been held for over a year, and the longest person I visited was held for 18 months. Gatwick Detainee Welfare Group is calling for an end to indefinite detention and wants to see a 28-day time limit imposed.
Thank you, and thank you for connecting us to actually a similarity of our experience with theirs, although obviously not quite so drastic. You're supporting people who've had very different lives and who are coping in very, very difficult circumstances. What have you learned about how you create a meaningful connection?
Well, I think although we may have had different lives and grown up in very different countries and cultures, at the end of the day, we're all human and we all deserve to be treated with dignity and respect. When you get to know somebody, anybody that you meet in life, when you get to know them, you quickly realize that we usually have much more in common than separates us. There are basic human rights that we all expect: security, shelter, food. And even in the rich world, we still want to improve our lives for ourselves and our families. When you connect to people on this level, you can build a meaningful connection. Many people held in detention have gone through tragic journeys and suffered great trauma. what they need is somebody who will listen to them and somebody that won't judge them.
What are the do's and don'ts when visiting people in detention?
As I mentioned just now, I think it's not our place to judge people or to decide who is more deserving or whose story is more believable than someone else's. The most important thing, I believe, is to listen, to be patient, and to let them have control of the conversation. Often, these people in detention can take a long time to open up to you. They've been through a lot of interviews from people in power that question their stories. They look for inconsistencies. What they don't need is for somebody else, for us, to feel like we're interrogating them as well.
Yes, it's what we all need, isn't it? A sense of being listened to, just much, much more important perhaps than anywhere else.
Yes.
Can you tell me what other activities your organisation is involved in?
We have a number of other activities that have grown up over the years. The main one is probably a project called Refugee Tales. This was set up together with Kent's University of Kent in Canterbury, and it calls for an end to indefinite detention. The idea of the project is loosely based on the Canterbury Tales, and the tales in this instance are written by authors, and the tales have been told to them, the story has been told by refugees or people held in detention, other migrants and visitors, people associated with them. We have an annual 5-day walk, which is based on a theme, which is held each July. And we walk during the day, and during the evenings, we have events with readings of the tales, music, and talks. These tales have now been compiled into 3 volumes, which are available on the website. There is a separate Refugee Tales website, which is an interesting read. And if anybody's interested, the website is www.refugeetales.org. As a continuation of this project, we've also developed something called 28 Tales for 28 Days. This is a compilation of the tales, of the videos, with authors and actors reading the tales. It's very interesting, and there's some quite interesting actors and authors participating in that. And it gives a really good insight into the lives of refugees and migrants and those facing indefinite detention. And again, anybody interested in looking at that, there is a website which is www.28for28.org. We also have a outreach project called Walk With Us. This is for people previously held in detention that can join us on a monthly walk with volunteers and other people associated with Catholic Detainee Welfare Group. And it's proved extremely popular and helps build a supportive community whilst enjoying the beautiful countryside. We do a number of other things, such as school talks, talks to churches and other community groups as well.
It sounds so dynamic and just so kind of ordinary just to go for a walk with people, but so important about building a rapport and a connection.
It is. And I think what I found from my own personal feeling was, you know, that I visited people in detention. There was a guy I visited for about a year, and he now comes on the walks. So I see him quite regularly. And just to see him outside of a detention centre, out in the fresh air, talking, laughing, enjoying the company of other people. It's just great. And it's kind of positive side of what we do, really.
Well, that brings me nicely to my next question, which is, what are the rewards of the work you do?
You get to meet some wonderful, incredible people. And I've learned so much about other people and their countries and their cultures. Although being held in detention can be really degrading and humiliating for them, it never ceases to amaze me that during times like that and times of anxiety and uncertainty for them, the people I'm visiting will still ask me how I am, how my family is, asking me about my life. And I just find it very humbling that they can find that in themselves amongst all this uncertainty and anxiety, just to want to get to know somebody else and to connect with them. There's a lot of fun as well. We have laughs, we have good times. You build up a bond with somebody when you visit them for a long time. And that bond goes beyond the current situation that they find themselves in. Also, when somebody is released from detention, there's a great sense of relief and happiness on their part and our part as well.
I bet. So with all these many different relationships and insights that you've gathered, what have you learned about the challenges of migration?
I think that what I've come to realise is migration for undocumented people can be quite perilous. There is a constant fear of being detained for these people and held in indefinite detention. People without the right to remain are extremely vulnerable to exploitation. They tend to live in poor housing, or quite often homeless, and they don't have access to education or proper healthcare. When people are fleeing oppression and arrive in the UK, they often don't understand the processes, how they go about applying for asylum, and what their rights are. Unfortunately, this can be used against them in future immigration hearings through no fault of their own.
That does sound very tough. But there's another side to migration. So what have you learned about the joys of migration?
I think the UK, we do have a long history of welcoming refugees and migrants. And for many people, probably the majority of people coming to the UK, it's a great experience. And I do think our country can broaden our view of the world. And it helps make us more tolerant and understanding of other cultures.
And of course, they bring so much to us.
I was going to say, apart from the culture and the differences that they bring to our country, I mean, they also bring huge economic benefits for us as well. Migrants tend to be, on the whole, younger. They are, contrary to what we're told, they are not a drain on our resources. They use much less in the way of education and healthcare than the general population. And they're probably putting in as much tax back. So really, it's a big bonus for us.
Yeah, certainly. So what advice would you give to anyone who has migrated here or is thinking about coming to the UK?
I would say that understanding how our immigration system works and obtaining the right documentation would be a real priority. I've come across a lot of people that have been detained just through not obtaining the correct documents or overstaying a visa. Often it's through no fault of their own. It's not through intent. It's purely through lack of knowledge or being given false information. Often unscrupulous people or employers can give migrants, poor information just to hold them in poorly paid jobs. I think people that are illegal are quite vulnerable to exploitation. That also goes for people that have come to the UK as children. They may have arrived as refugees, and I've met several of those, and they get the right to remain in the UK. But once they reach 18, once they become adults, they are also at risk of deportation, particularly if they've fallen foul of the law and may have had a prison sentence, because unless they're UK citizens, they are down for deportation if they've served more than a year in prison. I think learning the language is also, there's got to be a huge benefit for anybody. It means that it'll be easier to integrate and to find work. And there's many more opportunities. If you have work, you can be more independent. You have a greater chance of finding rewarding work and a greater earning potential if you speak the language. I would say generally, for people just to immerse themselves in our multicultural society, I think we have a wonderful, diverse society that's been built up over generations. It offers a great experience, and it's not often available in other countries. So yeah, enjoy it, and hope that as a nation we can do ourselves proud by making you welcome.
I agree with that. So if anyone wants to find out more about the Gatwick Detainee Welfare Group, what should they do?
They can first of all go to our website, www.gdwdg.org.uk. And on the website, there is a Get Involved page, and then the drop-down menu will show you a variety of ways that you can become involved.
And to find out more about Together in the UK, go to our website, togetherintheuk, all one word, .co.uk. Thank you very much for listening.